Chronicles chapter 4. First Chronicles chapter 4. First Chronicles, the book of First Chronicles, before we read the verses, if you read the first 8 chapters, First Chronicles, it's all about genealogies. This guy begotten this guy, this guy is begotten this guy. It's very technical, very dry. 8 chapters of listing genealogies. And if you're having a hard time sleeping, that's my advice. Read those chapters. And you wonder why the Holy Spirit has listed these genealogies. 8 of them. In fact, if you go to chapter 9, verse 1, this is where the actions start. Verse 1 summarizes. It says, "So all Israel were reckoned by genealogies, and behold, they were written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah, who were carried away to Babylon for their transgression." So 8 chapters listing the genealogies of the people of Israel. The reason, many reasons why the Holy Spirit allowed the listings of these genealogies, and theologians can give you many reasons, but I think for us, average believers, especially for me, you know, simple believer, I think it will help us to understand the messianic genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's really the main reason the Holy Spirit left these genealogies, so we can understand His genealogy when it comes to 2 Gospels. If you remember in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, lists his genealogy, tracing him back to the King David, therefore asserting his royal right to the kingship. And our Lord is more than qualified that one day when he comes and rules during the millennium, he'll be the King of Glory ruling from Jerusalem. In the Gospel of Luke, we see that Luke listed the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ all the way to Adam, asserting him as perfect man, sinless man. He's a perfect human being. It says in Colossians, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So we find in Christ 2 natures, human nature, and of course, his deity, his God. Now, we don't see any genealogy listed in the book in the Gospel of John. Why? Because John asserts the deity of Jesus Christ. God does not have a genealogy. God does not have any descent. So you don't see that in the Gospel of John. You don't see it also in the Gospel of Mark. Why? Because Mark describes Jesus, and Jesus declared, "I came to serve, not to be served." So he described him as the bond servant. And a bond servant is not even qualified to list his genealogy. So that's probably part of the reason why we have these genealogies in 1 Chronicles. There are other reasons, such as young men from the nation of Israel who want to find out their lineage, especially to a tribe. There's one particular tribe, as you know, that's separated to the service of God in the temple of God, in the house of God. They need to know if they belong to that tribe, if they belong to that priesthood clan, tribe. That tribe is the tribe of Levi, so they need to know that. In fact, today they do that also quite often. Anyway, if we go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, as the Holy Spirit is listing the genealogies for us, all of a sudden it stops and just turns the light upon this young man and then shines his light upon this young man by the name of Jabez in verse 9. And the Holy Spirit records something about this young man, his background, and records his prayer, but more importantly, it records that God granted him this request. And this morning we'll be looking at the prayer of Jabez. The prayer of Jabez. Verse 9, it says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bear him with sorrow.' And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. That is, that it may not grieve me.' And God granted him that which he requested." A simple prayer, a direct prayer, but yet it touched the throne of God. It moved the heart of God. Why? Because it says, "And God granted his request." It's interesting that the name of Jabez, this is why his mother named him, because she said, "I bear him with sorrow, with grief." That's his name. His name means he will cause pain. Literally, that's what it means. He is pain. Imagine if your parents call you, "He is pain." And then your friend says, "Oh, here comes the pain. Here goes the pain. Oh, what a pain, he is pain," you know. And that's the name you'll be labeled with. I'm used to that name from my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law calls me pain all the time. Sorry, Mona. I forgot she's here. Okay. And the reason perhaps why she called him that is maybe speculation is that you don't see his father mentioned. Perhaps his father passed away during that time. It was a time of grief, a time of sorrow, and she named him Jabez. However, Jabez defied his name. Jabez decided to trust in the God of Israel, and he called upon his name, and we have his prayer. And in this prayer, we see a man who diligently seeked after God's heart. We see a man who desired to please God. This prayer is made up of four supplications. The first supplication is the supplication of blessing. He said, "Oh, that thou, oh that you wouldest bless me indeed." He's asking for a blessing. The second supplication is a supplication for success, to enlarge my coast, to enlarge my territory, to enlarge my boundary. In the Hebrew term, it says to enlarge my suburbs, if you may. The third supplication is in the area of protection and guidance. And I love this phrase, "that thine hand might be with me." I love that phrase. A phrase that's my prayer. Whenever I set my heart to go to mission field, and here I am on the plane, you know, taking off, I just find myself saying, "Lord, may your hand be with me. Guide me. Your protection, your guidance, your blessing." And the fourth supplication has to do with holy living. And because he prayed that you wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. The Hebrew word, it may not exhaust me. It may not cause me pain. Four supplications that we see in his prayer. The scriptures, as you know, encourage us to pray. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication," right? "With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." You have any worries, any heaviness, anything that really taking all your energy, the scripture says, "Be careful for nothing. Do not worry, but give all your worries in prayer and supplication." And so this morning we're going to look at all these four supplications and discern what we can learn from this young man and learn the faithfulness of God in answering prayers. Our God is a God who desires you and I be praying. Our God loves to answer our prayers according to His perfect will. And so let's look at the first one. It has to do with blessing. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. And you know, this is a common thing when we pray, especially during a Sunday morning service. Lord, bless our service. Lord, bless your people. Lord, bless this Bible study. Lord, bless this day. Common thing. Why is that? Because our God is a God of all blessings. Isn't it? Read it in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. See, all the blessings we received in one package, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to take this laptop here and put it on the side, if you don't mind. My Bible keeps sliding. Sorry for that. And I think we have so many blessings we can count upon. The greatest of these blessings is the blessing of salvation. Think of your salvation. What a plan. The God of the universe is interested to save a sinner like you. No, not me, like you, right? That's the God of love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It says in Romans chapter 5, it says, but God commendeth His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a blessing to see God's heart in action, our salvation. In fact, Peter, when he preached his sermon in Acts chapter 3, he looked at all his Jewish kinsmen and he said, unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus Christ, sent Him to bless you. How? In turning away every one of you from his iniquities. The greatest blessing, brethren, is our salvation. We have many other blessings. We can't count them. The blessing of being indwelled by the Holy Spirit. The blessing of being the filling of the Holy Spirit. And it just goes on. We can't count the many blessings we have because of whom Christ is. It's okay to pray, Lord, bless the work I'm doing at your employer's place. Lord, bless my schooling. Lord, bless my family, my children. Bless this church. Bless the work of the church. Our God is a God who blesses, who blesses. This is His first supplication. Let's turn to the second one, where he prayed, Lord, enlarge my coast, enlarge my boundary, enlarge my territory. Back then in the Old Testament, this is how people kind of measured their livelihood. It's how it was in this country 100 years ago, 150 years ago perhaps, where everything is your land, your farm. That's where you raised your cattle. This is where you raised your crop. This is where your harvest is. This is where you live from. In the Middle East, the land is so precious. We had conflicts and wars because of 1 meter of land. That's how precious it is. It's so precious. I remember my grandparents, it's still really something you find in that part of the world. When they hold their grandchildren, my grandparents, I remember my grandmother would kiss us like 20 kisses at a time, you know, and they just hug them and kisses them, and they call their grandchildren all my properties. It's not like, I know this is an endearment term, I know it sounds strange in English, but in Arabic it sounds like very endearment. You're so valuable to me. That's how precious. And Jabez is praying, Lord, prosper me, perhaps in the physical world, in the Old Testament, but we can apply it for us in the New Testament age, on us individually. Lord, help me to grow loving you more, to draw closer to you more. Isn't that what Paul prayed in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10? He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul desired to know him more, to grow in knowing him and loving him, to be conformed to his image. Lord, enlarge my knowledge, my fellowship, my relationship with you on an individual basis. How about at the family, in the family level? Joshua, you know, my brother here was mentioned how the verse that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In the Hebrew it says, we will worship the Lord. Same root word, worship, service. And it comes from the word bond servant. We will be bond servant for our Lord in worshiping and serving and giving everything. When was the last time, my brother and my sister, you prayed for your family, for your children? We all desire to see our children established and successful in this world, you know, having career engineers, doctors, whatever the case is. But how about walking with God? Desire to see your children walking with God. Lord, pray, enlarge my family. I want to see my children not only saved, but walking. Not only walking with you, but serving you. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I can honestly say, and we're grateful, my wife and I, to tell you that we have 5 children. And they are well established. From the worldly point of view, they are. We're grateful. And we don't boast about it, and we're thankful for them, but really our greatest blessing to see them, all 5 believers, love the Lord. What a greatest joy. And to see them also serving in their own churches, in their own, you know, within their own capacities. That is something that we are so grateful and so blessed. Pray for your family. Pray that God will enlarge the ministry of your family, that your children would carry on the legacy of the gospel, the legacy of loving Christ and reflecting who Christ is. How about praying for your church ministry? How about, Lord, enlarge our outreach boundary? Lord, enlarge our outreach coast. Every church these days have open doors without you knowing. You're on Facebook. You're on the internet. You're on this social media, Instagram, whatever. I mean, young people can list them for you. I act like I know what I'm talking about. I don't have Facebook. I don't have time for Facebook. YouTube, you're on YouTube. But these are outlets. People are watching. And God's word is impacting them. Pray that God would use these effectual and open door, that it will outreach your community. Paul, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3 says, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. I was mentioning this morning in our update at Sunday school, throughout my years of serving our God, and I've been serving Him for more than 40 years, I can literally stand and say, our God is a God of open doors. He opened effectual and opportunities for us to extend the gospel. When you really mean it, pray and watch God in action. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, it says, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, but there are many adversaries. Pray for your church, brethren. Pray that God would use you as individuals to be a living testimony of Christ, not only in sharing the gospel, but you as a person, be a living a gospel to your friends, to your neighbors, at work, at school, where you're at. You're the only ones, perhaps, people would know about the gospel of our Lord is through you. Pray for your members. Pray for your brothers. Pray for you here to extend the gospel to the city of Orono and the surrounding. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 for a second. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to leave you with this challenge to grow, to enlarge our boundary, to enlarge our coast. Verse 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. Paul said, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." What a powerful verse. You know, your love toward the brethren reflect your love to God. If you're having problems loving your own brethren at the church, then it's a flag. How's your relationship with God? Because when you love God, when you're in intimate love with Him, it's natural to love your brethren. It's natural to be submitted to one another. It's natural to serve one another, to encourage one another in love. It comes through our relationship with our God. But read with me in verse 10. It says, "And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren, which are all in all Macedonia." But here it is. Paul says, well, you're doing a good job in loving, learning from God to love and loving the brethren, but we beseech you, brethren, that you what? Increase. That you increase more and more. How about that for a supplication, for prayer? Lord, help us to increase our love to one another as a church. The second supplication was, enlarge my coast, enlarge my territory, enlarge my suburbs. The third supplication was in the area of protection and guidance. He said that thine hand might be with me. You know, God's hand, if you do a closed wrist like that, it shows you're protecting something. And that's, we are in God's hand. This is something that we need to be aware of, especially in the mission field. Teaching young believers who are going through a lot, especially tribulations and sufferings, they are questioning their salvation. And so when it comes to assurance of salvation, is a big thing for us to teach and to remind us that we are in His hand. The assurance of our salvation. Who can snatch us from His hand? In Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 28, the Lord says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." In fact, Paul goes on to name what can separate us from His love. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, he goes, "Who shall separate us from love, from His love? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword." He even goes further in verse 38 of Romans chapter 8 by listing everything under the sun and above the sun, saying, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord." The hand of protection. Be assured of yourself. Be assured that no one would touch you unless He permits it. Of course, your salvation is assured, eternally saved. The hand of guidance. You find the term according to the good hand of my God. A lot in the Old Testament where men of God seeked him to perform a certain task. For example, in Ezra, as he was seeking God to go back to Jerusalem from Babylon, from Iraq, back to Jerusalem, for the one task is to rebuild the temple of God. It says in Ezra chapter 7, it says he went up to Babylon, and he came to Jerusalem. This is in verse 9, according to the good hand of his God upon him, of chapter 7, Ezra chapter 7. But verse 10 tells us how God's hand was upon him, guiding him. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to what? And to do it." Here's the key, brethren. It's good that you read your Bible, which is it's a great blessing, and I encourage you to read it. Not only read it, but take deep dives in studying the Word of God. And I'm grateful your church here from this pulpit, that the Word of God is rightly being divided. And you're exposed to great teaching from this pulpit. And we're grateful for God's teaching of His Word. But really, to be able to be guided by Him is you need to live that which we've been taught. According to James, do not be listeners to the Word, but to what? To be doers of His Word. Ezra prepared his heart, seeking the law of the Lord, and doing it. And God's hand was upon him, guiding him. So we have his hand, God's hand protecting you, God's hand guiding you, God's hand now we see upholding you. It can be upholding you, or God's hand could be against you. And I tell believers, be careful. Your attitude could either have his hand against you, resisting you, or it could be upholding you, depending on your attitude. And this attitude is called pride. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Paul is encouraging the young people, he's telling them, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, not only the young people, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud. This is in verse 5. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Then in verse 6 it says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you on a due time. If you let that old nature come out, if you let that idol called I, that idol called me, that idol called myself, comes out, guess what you're doing? You're going right against the hand of God. And be careful. Yeah, you can have your way in the church. You can cause all kind of whatever you need to do, problems at the church, but guess what? At the end of your game, you got to meet his hand. God resists the proud. And God encourages us to be clothed with humility. God encourages us to submit to one another. God encourages us to be united as a church family. Now, your church is going through a sensitive time right now, trying to find the proper leader, shepherd, to shepherd you and to lead you. And this is a time that you have to come together and be submissive to one another, be clothed with humility, for God gives grace to the humble. May the Lord give you his heart by choosing the proper man to lead you as you are humbly serving and encouraging one another as a church family. So his fourth supplication is, may thy hand might be with me. The hand of protection, the hand of guidance, the hand of upholding, of exalting. And now we come to the fourth one, holy living, that you would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And here, evil could mean danger. However, I am more comfortable just looking at it in the Arabic word. It's the evil. It's just the evil that we live in this world. The root of all evil is what? It's sin. And so, here we find this young man, Jabez, praying, Lord, keep me from evil. Keep me from the snares of sin. Keep me away from the temptation of sin. So it may not cause me pain. It may not grieve me. It may not exhaust me. The grievous feeling of sin, when you and I commit that sin, it's enjoyable. But the consequences happen afterwards. Where you feel something is not right, where the peace of God is not there anymore. Why? Because that relationship has been impacted. There's sin that separates you from God. Doesn't mean, no, we're not saying you lose your salvation. It's that fellowship, that relationship is disrupted. And then Jabez is praying, Lord, keep me from evil. David, in Psalm 51, as he was repenting, he mentioned, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which has thou broken may rejoice. That's how he felt all along. He was entertaining that saying. He sinned and he entertained it for a long time. And finally, it was so grieving to him. In Psalm 32, it says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. This is how it feels, brethren. For you who are children of God and you have fallen into sin, do not entertain that sin. For it's grieving you. It's giving you much pain. So how can we stay away from the snares of sin? Scripture gives us clear commands. There are two commands, short, precise, that the scripture we see tells us to kind of insulate us from the lure of sin. The first command is to flee. And the second one is to cling. Paul, in encouraging his disciple Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2:22, well, a verse well known to you, he's telling him, flee. Flee also youthful lusts. This is one part of the command. The second one he said, but pursue, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with whom? With them who, that call on the Lord out of pure heart. Here it is, brethren. We flee, but we cling to the people of God. This is why coming to the church is crucial. Fellowshipping is crucial. You cannot replace online, watching online with actual coming to worship and listen to the teaching of the Word of God. Yes, you can do that online. You can listen and learn. You can probably worship, but you cannot replace it with the actual fellowship. Because in fellowshipping, there's accountability, there's encouragement that we all can live a holy life. We can encourage one another to pursue, to follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. Another verse, Paul encouraged Timothy to flee not from money, but from the love of money. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, it says, but you, O man of God, applies to all of you, you, O woman of God, flee these things. These things, the fame of the world, the love of the world, whatever the world pride itself with, flee from it. That's not where it should be. We should be. And he said, pursue. Here it is, pursue. righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Jabez somehow understood the character of God. God is holy. Saying, Lord, keep me from evil, from the snare of that sin, that it may not grieve me. It may not cause me pain. So what happened if we fall in sin? What happened if there's sin? Well, we're grateful to our God, to our loving God, who tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sin, he is what? Faithful and just to what? Forgive our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you have a sin in your life that only he knows and you know? All you have to do is just cleanse it, confess it before God. Very soon we're going to break the bread where we examine ourselves. This is a good time to examine yourself. Any hidden sin, any hidden, you know, anything, even the thoughts that comes out of our mind. I don't know where these thoughts, sometimes I think, where are these thoughts coming from? This old nature of ours, just give it some freedom, and man, it just comes out. Confess your sins to our God, and he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. Jabez, in his short prayer, we learn that he is a man, or he was a man, who was seeking after God's heart. He desired to please him. And he proved, against his name, a pain to be blessing to many. In fact, if you go back to verse 9, it says Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Even though his name was Pain, but he was more honorable. He became a blessing. A man who seeked after God's heart. And the greatest blessing, it says, and God granted him that which he requested. Short prayer, direct prayer, but moved the throne of God. May this devotion, small devotion, brother, on his prayer be encouragement to you and me this morning. That first of all, God wants us to empty our hearts in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And God desires to answer our prayers for his glory and for his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. And Father, as we are present before you, Lord, we thank you that you are in our midst. We thank you, Lord, for, first of all, our salvation. And we thank you for your precious word this morning to us from the prayer of Jabez. We pray, Lord God, as we reflect more on your precious word, that you encourage us, Lord God, to seek after you and to seek to love you more and to walk with you and to please your heart. May you bless, Lord, this church, this gathering. May you, Lord, enlarge the ministries here, Lord, the outreach, the love, the fellowship. May all be all done to glorify your name. We pray, we thank you. Amen.